And we're live. Welcome, friends, to the Daddy Rips and DPZ Bowman Baseball Show. I am your host, DPZ, and my co-host, Daddy Rips, over here joining us live. We are in, this is episode two. And, you know, a lot has happened in the last week. Really, nothing has happened in the last week. Except, of course, there have been some baseball being played. So there's been some home runs by a particular Yankee. Or a home run by a particular Yankee that has got some people thinking, you know, maybe there's an opportunity for some movement there with the price points and some of the cards for that particular player. I'll let Daddy Rips dive into that. But before we do anything else, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to give some hot takes again, because I feel like the last episode, you know, Daddy, what do you think? The last episode, There's some feedback. There's a lot of commentary on the Trout pick. There was some commentary on your Bo Bichette. I know some people that are buying Bo Bichette right now because of that pick, the Daddy Rips to pick. Ronnie Mosciano as well.
Oh,
there are
my
people
gosh.
Moving on it.
Yeah.
So talk to me, brother. Talk to me, brother. What do you think? How are you feeling?
You know, I'm glad because I last week I said Ronnie Mauricio picked to rip. He said two spring training bombs. The one was an absolute monster shot, and it's just so fluid. It just looks too easy. He's gotten bigger. It looks like, obviously, these guys are, when they're prospects, they're so young, they're not even fully developed yet. They haven't even grown to their potential. Looks like he's gotten taller. I said this 2 months ago. I said Ronnie Mauricio was gonna be, he was like the baby Ellie, like the body style, the swing, everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we have Jadon making a splash, and you know, the guy hits one home. Listen, guys, pump the brakes. It's one home run. But I will say, for the hobby reasons, he hits a home run, and the next thing you know, on all the Instagram channels, you got sell me your Jadoms, or here's my Jadon collection. It's just like this outpour of cards. You're like, where have these been for the last 8 months? Nobody's right. You know. But it's good. It's good to see that, because people are paying attention, and then, you know, it might be an overreaction, but you know what? Who cares? You know, if you see a home run and you like a guy, go buy his cards.
I mean, is that the normal thing now? Do we have to start in the Bowman Chrome community? Are we at a place where we see a run? People, there's a run on cards. If there's a hitting streak, if it's a younger player being promoted up from, you know, double A, high A to double A to triple A. I mean, obviously to triple A, people start getting excited, movement starts happening. Mm-hmm. But one hit, a big home run in this TikTok, you know, content driven, social media content driven society we live in, the sports society we live in, the big play, does that drive? Does that drive a number? Does that drive card prices?
It will in baseball. And especially before these guys start getting stats, right? Because it's all the what if, or the unknown of what they're going to get, or what stats they're going to put up. So they see a guy hit a home run, and, you know, the caption says, you know, Jadon hits one to Mars. The Martian hits one to Mars, you know, whatever the announcer said. But yeah, I think that's how it's going to be for the next month or so, until the guys actually are accruing stats in the major leagues. So
do you think, okay, so, and let's Bowman Chrome, 2020 Bowman Chrome, are you feeling like you're going to get back into that product and start ripping it? Do you think there's going to be a 2020 Bowman?
A regular 2020. I actually just ordered a jumbo case. So that would be, yeah. So 2020 regular Bowman is, we talked about this in the last episode. It's has Jason Dominguez, has Anthony Volpe, has Bobby Witt, has Jeremy Pena. It has Everson Pereira, another like under the radar Yankee prospect. It has two prospects for the Dodgers that potentially could be on the starting roster or in the bigs at some point this year. That's Miguel Vargas, who saw action last year at the tail end of the year. That's Andy. I call him Andy Pages. I think it's pronounced Páez, but Andy Páez as well. It's just a loaded class. Oscar Gonzalez, guy made a splash in the playoffs last year for the Indians, or for the Guardians. My bad.
Whoops. Careful.
There's just a lot of – it's just a deep class. And then not to mention it has the rookies. You could pull rookie autos out of that as well. And that the rookie class in that 2020 is Yordan, Bichette, Gavin Lux, who just got hurt. It's really deep class. And yes, we are going back and ripping that. I have a jumbo case coming in 2 days. And I've had people beg us to bring that back. But we try to keep things on the table that it's like not going to really break the bank and have a good ROI. And it got to the point where we're just like, guys, it just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. You have to hit a wit. Like numbered auto to make your money back. It just got to the point where it just didn't make sense to rip it.
So Luka Nation, you're hearing it here. You go find Daddy Rips. I follow him. So when he goes live with that break, you're going to want to jump in a 2020 Bowman break because it's fun. It's not as expensive as going out and chasing an auto that is, you know, probably going to be priced for whatever's happening right now, or you can jump in a break and maybe get a steal. I mean, it happens all the time. That's a great way to do it. So once again, we're always pushing Daddy Rips and his breaks and the cost-effective way to get into that whole realm.
The other thing is 2020 was the last year that we've seen a significant uptick on production. It seems like 2021, you started seeing like these new parallels and different products and the odds started going way up and she started seeing like, okay, so 2020 is like the last year where it really feel like it was like, I mean, obviously it was a COVID year. So, but that's why it's a lot easier to hit in that product. You go into like the newer classes, 21, 22, it seems like you could go 4 or 5 cases without hitting a certain player. In 2020, it's like, man, we would hit the big names left and right. So I recommend that for sure.
Definitely. We'll keep an eye out for that. If you're following him, keep an eye out for that. I'm going to probably jump in one of those myself. Test my mettle there. Before we jump into our big topic, I wanted to ask you one more question on your daddy picks to rip was Rono Marciano last week. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering though, is there a logjam there? You got Brett Beatty, you've got Francisco Lindor, long-term contract. Where's he going to play?
Yeah, that's the question. I was just talking to somebody and they were like, he's like, there's nowhere for him to play. I don't know. I don't know if they move him. Who knows? It sucks because he's like at that age. It's like, he's got to get in the bigs, you know? And we're going to talk about this week's pick to rip. It's kind of like the same scenario with the age. It's like, you got to kind of, at that like tipping point where you guys got to play. So you either got to find a way or move pieces to find a way or move him.
Yeah. And be sure to talk about that when you give your pick to rip, why the age is so important, because age in prospecting is a big, big deal. And a lot of people overlook that. They get excited about where they rank, but they're not looking at the age, and the age matters. We talked about catchers. We talked about pitchers. We talked about the positions that matter. Age also matters. You want to think about that. You'll hear about that a lot. We have a very special guest coming next week that'll talk about age. He talks about age a lot. You'll be excited. I'm sure everybody will be excited to see that. But yeah, when we get to that point, please speak on that more so we can understand it. So moving out of a big market is something to be considering too when you're thinking about Rono Marciano. I mean, if he moves out of New York and say he goes to Kansas City, I don't think that'll happen. But That could be a problem. Maybe not with Bobby Witt matched. I don't know, but Bobby Witt, he's a shortstop too, so that probably wouldn't happen. You know, or he could go to third, who knows? But the point is, like, you go from a big market to a small market, that can sometimes affect things, right? Vice versa, going from a small market to a big market can help.
Yeah.
So.
It could, the small market thing, I look at it maybe in a different angle. It's like, maybe he could be the big fish in the little pond. And where he's putting up so like this just crazy stats on one team and just care, you know, maybe that could be a guy's carrying a terrible team and that he's, you know, carrying this team to the playoffs. So there is some sort of like positive on the smaller markets, But when it comes to card values, like, yeah, like when you're talking those big market, just the fans and the overall, just the overall like light that goes into those cards and those players is way more detrimental on the big markets, because you have more eyes on them. So it could be good or it could be really bad, because then you're just the team's getting piled on. I mean, I remember last year Joey Gallo was getting booed in New York, and it's like if he was on like the Rangers, you know, he's not going to get booed in Texas. He's not going to get booed in Oakland. He's not going to get booed, but the Yankees were booing him. And so then he goes to the Dodgers. He's like, man, I feel better now. It's like, it's getting booed by my own fans. So,
right. Yeah. It could go either way. Right. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. Okay. So we're going to move into our next segment. Next segment is going to be the most overrated Major League Baseball player today and the most underrated baseball player in Major League Baseball today. There could be multiple.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to just be a player. It could be multiple players on both ends. But I will kick it off. I came up with my most overrated player in baseball is Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge. I think Aaron Judge is – I think he was a contract year for him. So he – I mean, I'm not taking away from the historic season he just had. 62 home runs. That's an amazing – what an accomplishment. They didn't go far into the playoffs. And we all know New York Yankee baseball, it's about winning championships. So – individual awards are not as important. You got to win championships in New York. That's what matters. That's what the president is. So the historic feat is nice, but I just don't know if it matters. He got the contract. I'm glad he stayed in New York. I think that's great for baseball, even though the Giants could have been a good fit. It's good for baseball that he stays in New York, but I don't believe he performs to that contract. What he's supposed to, he does not perform for that contract. I don't think he does. I think he regresses over time. I think he's hurt again. I don't think he plays a full season this year. I think he struggles to stay healthy the rest of that remainder of that contract. I don't think his production matches. He's number two on the Major League Baseball top 100 players list. Number two behind Shohei Ohtani. Another guy I feel like is really, really good, but he's only been playing for a few years and he was hurt at the beginning as well. So there is some recency bias. I get it. It's the top 100 right now. So right now, I guess it's kind of fair to put him, I mean, in the top 10, I get it. Number two, I think it's highly overrated. The reason I make this statement, because it has to do with the contrast to the most underrated player that I think exists in baseball today, one of the most underrated players, and that is Christian Yelich. And Yelich.
Oh, my God. This podcast is going to get a little.
I know. I think Christian Yelich, all our Milwaukee fans are going to be excited.
Oh, no, I'm
to
just
hear
talking
this.
About my picks. I'm talking about my – just – well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll finish off here. So I brought some stats to the party just because I didn't want to just start throwing out stuff. I want to be informed and give you statistics. Yeah. So I ran from 2016 to 2022. That was the time frame, the window of time I compared both Christian Yelich and Aaron Judge. So each of them have won an MVP at this point. So that's an equal stature. Yelich, though, in that time frame has batted .277. In that time frame, Judge is batted .266. Now, these aren't huge differentials between the two, but the way these two players are perceived is monumentally different. So home runs, 154 for Yelich, 220 for Judge. Obviously, he's going to get the nod there. But that is the only category out of some of the bigger categories where he leads Yelich. Yelich has 516 RBIs, 497 for Judge, 975 hits for Yelich, 748 hits for Judge. Yelich is the better baseball player. He's the better all-around baseball player. And it's not even, in my opinion, it's not even close. I think Yelich is the better baseball player. I think when it goes down, I think he will be perceived. Judge is a big player. He's in New York. He's going to always get that attention. Just like I think Derek Jeter was somewhat overrated. I don't think he was as good. I mean, he was a great player. But he played in New York and he won a lot of championships. And in baseball, that is not as important. I think he's always been overrated, Derek Jeter. I think Judge is getting that treatment as well. He's overrated. I think Yelich is in a smaller market team. He's got his MVP. Yeah, he hasn't been playing as well. But overall, he's a better ball player. He's not even ranked on the MLB top 100. He's not even ranked. So you've got Judge number two, Yelich unranked. I think he's just a better player. And I think this year he's going to have, and we talked about comeback players. I think this year Christian Yelich is going to come back and show why he's that guy. But I think over time, in the next like 3 or 4 years, Yelich is going to prove to be the better player overall and continue down that trajectory.
All right. So I'm going to put, mine's going to be devil's advocate here now, right? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
My overrated player is Christian Yelich. I swear. That's why I was like,
We did not talk before this episode. This is actually true. Here's my notes.
Christian Yelich. All right. So first two seasons with the Brewers, he had 80 home runs, 200 RBIs, 52 SBs, and an OPS of over 1,000. He had like 1,000 1 year and like a 1,001 or something. That was 277 games. His last three seasons, one was plagued by injury, but he had two like semi-full seasons. 35 home runs, 130 RBIs, only 32 SBs, an OPS in the 740s, and that was with 50 more games played. So I don't know if it's lingering injuries. I don't know if it's just, you know, the 18-19 season, those two seasons when he came over, that team was really good, and they had a lot of bats around him. I don't know if it's just he's not protected in the lineup. I know they brought in some players. Would they bring in like Jesse Winker and a couple other players? I don't know if that's the case. And I talked to my buddy Sleevey. We were talking about this, and he was like, you know, it could just be the age getting it. It's just like lingering injuries. He's not stealing as much. He's not, you know, it could be. So that's so crazy. Dude. You're like my underrated. You're underrated and my overrated are the same player. It's pretty crazy. I have my asterisk next to Yelich is just he has to prove himself this year. You're in season six as the Brewers, and those two seasons he had 80 home runs and he didn't even play a full season. I think he missed like 20 games the first one season and like 17 or 18 the second. It's pretty crazy his stats. And that OPS is wild. Like to have an OPS for two straight seasons like that is so hard to do. So hard to do. It's like, it's one of the reasons why Trout is put so high on the pedestal. It's because I don't think he's ever had a season under 900 OPS. He's always in the nines. So it's really hard to do, but I just have him as my overrated and just like as an asterisk, like he's got to prove himself this year. You have to do it.
I will agree with you. I definitely feel like he needs to prove himself this year to get himself into that conversation again and insert himself into that conversation. But I just feel like they both have injury issues, right? So they're both not as healthy as we'd like them to be. How could they perform with injury? I think that argument goes both ways. So it's kind of a toss-up. But you and I could both be right and both be wrong at the same time. One of us is going to be right. I think we both agree he needs to have this season's a big season for Yelich. He needs to prove himself in order just to continue down that path. Now, I think he will, and I think he will have – I think he's going to overall outperform Judge in the next few years. I think Judge got his contract. I think a lot of players play to that, and then they kind of –
He's got a couple of years on him, right, age-wise? I think Yelich is, what, 30? Judge is 32 or something? I can't remember.
I don't have the stats in front of me. I think he's – but I had to like, shrink the time frame because Yelich played longer, so I had to – try to get a comparable window. I probably should have taken the first 2 years and inserted them because it would have been similar and would have been better contrast there. But still, I feel like the numbers are kind of like in the middle. They're very comparable. Don't get me wrong.
If you went back to 16, then that was 2 years with the Marlins too. So
yes, he started out okay though. I mean, it wasn't like Yelich was a bum.
My business really partner played with him. So he played with all those guys with the Marlins, Yelich, Stanton, D. Gordon, Marcelo Zuna. I mean, that Marlins team, like they would have just held on to those players. That team would have been stacked.
Yeah, that would have been a good team. I'll say this too. I know I got a lot of heat on that last comment on Mike Trout being important as another cycle goes through. He's going to be that guy. I remembered like Griffey. I'm wearing a Griffey jersey right now. Obviously, I'm a huge Griffey guy. Like all my cards are now pretty much Griffey. I've sold everything and it's all into Griffey. But I do think that Mike Trout's still the best player in baseball. I don't think he should be number three, number four, wherever he landed. I think he landed number three on this year's MLB Top 100. I still think he's number one. Until someone shows me that they could be that player. If he stays healthy, of course, the health is the only thing taking him out. He hit 40 home runs playing and he missed a whole month. So I still think he's the best player in baseball. And I'm not holding the Trout bag, folks.
Yeah.
I just think that he's still the best player. He's yet to be unthroned.
That the wear and tear. See, I think mental health is something that is not really talked about. Because when you're talking in baseball, you have 162 games spanned over what 200 plus days, and you're grinding day in and day out. There's times where you're getting out of bed and you're like, I don't want to go to the gym, or I don't want to go to take batting practice. Like, I just, you're so run down, and then you don't make the playoffs, and then you don't make the playoffs, and then you don't, like, there's like, I think some of these players, Mike Trout, like, the older you get, your body is getting worse and worse, and it's not feeling any good getting out of bed sometimes in the morning, and then you're losing. And losing, whether you like it or not, if you win, it feels good. Your injuries just kind of go away. It's right. How it works. Like, you're like, oh, my arm hurts, but we're winning, so who cares? You know, but if you're losing, you're like, my arm hurts. Nah, you know what? I'm going to go rehab. You know, I'm not going to push through. Why? You know, so I don't know. That's how I would feel if I was just constantly losing. And then you're just like the guy doesn't even have a playoff win. It's like, come on, Angels, get it together. Like, you're literally going to ruin one of the greatest baseball players that we'll ever see. And not just in our lifetime, and like, all of baseball. And if this guy walks away as an Angel without a playoff win in however many years he's going to play for you guys, it's sad. It's like, go spend the money, you know?
Let me ask you another question, and there might be another hot take. It's a hot conversation. It went away very quickly. And, you know, I've heard some things myself that I won't get into too much detail on here in this episode. But is there any merit to the HGA accusations? That all of a sudden came and went, and MLB quickly went, psh. Is there any merit to that? That could completely destroy. That would be monumental. That's earth shattering for baseball fans, card holders, a lot of bags being held right now. Mine got a lot smaller. And that's not the reason. I needed to free up capital to buy Griffey grails, but is there a merit to that?
I don't know. I don't know if baseball is protecting him and they just kind of like swept it under the rug, you know, to protect the golden boy. I mean, I could see it.
The golden boy. That's not the first time I've heard that. And MLB players have told me that. So you've got your MLB connections. What do you hear?
I've had two of my buddies play with Trout. They said he's nothing but just an awesome stand-up guy and does the right thing. And heart, you know, busts his ass. It's like just a normal guy, you know. That's like he's not above anybody in the locker room. That's coming from people that have played with him personally. So, but then again, I mean, Tom Brady was the golden boy in football, and the NFL went after him for Deflategate. Like I thought that was, you know, it's like. Yeah. So I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, I'm a little I'm different with when it comes to players using performance enhancing. In my opinion, I'm not against it. I'm not against it. This is what a hot take. Like, I don't, man, in the 2000s, baseball was magical to watch. There were regular season games where it was sold out to go see Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, all these guys. And guess what? People knock on the guys that were taking the steroids. Like, everybody was taking it back then. The pitchers were taking it to face the hitters that were taking it. So,
well, Griffey wasn't. We know that because he broke down completely.
Oh, yeah. No,
Griffey. A shell of himself. And then that was the great proving point there. I, you know, sadly, but also, you know, thankfully in a way. But yeah, they're Barry Bonds, in my opinion, I think he's the one of the best to ever play. I don't even care. I'm with you on that. I enjoyed that in the late 90s. That was so amazing to watch. But I still think, you know, I hold Griffey in higher esteem for lots of different reasons, but I think Barry Bonds was just, you know, probably the better all-around baseball player. And when it all ranks out. So, okay. Well, moving along, let's kick it into the Bowman draft.
I got underrated.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. I didn't even give you the chance. Right. Fire away, man.
We're going to play a game. Ready? Ready for this game? Okay.
I'm ready.
I'm going to give you some stats on a pitcher and you tell me what are these stats kind of line up with? All right. 2.54 ERA. This is last year. 2.54 ERA, a whip of under one, 194 Ks in 148 innings.
Interesting.
It's not Verlander. It's not Walker Buehler.
Is it an Astro?
Christian Javier.
That's what I thought. He killed us in the playoffs. I was like, this guy's really good.
This guy had an 11-9 record. With that ERA and that whip on that team, 11-9. He had zero Cy Young votes coming off I believe he won Rookie of the Year in 21. And his problem was he couldn't get into the seventh inning because the strikeouts were so high. His pitch count was so high. So, which is the record to me is crazy. This guy, with that offense, if he pitches even in that realm, even a 3 ERA with a 1-1 whip, guy's going to win like 18 games this year. And he's just progressively going to get that stamina. And the numbers are phenomenal. I mean, almost 200 strikeouts. And the first, I think the first like four or five starts, he didn't even make it out of the third or fourth inning because of just the pitch count. So he had a stretch from his last 11 starts, he only gave up one earned run on average. Less than one in. He gave up 10 runs in his last 11 starts. So that's my underrated because he's just shadowed by Verlander and Framber. You know, he was shadowed by those two guys. So that's my underrated pitcher.
Okay. Makes sense. No, I mean, I've seen him a lot, so I'm not denying that he was very difficult. He was a very difficult pitcher. I mean, he's pitch counts are interesting. They don't tell the whole story because there's a lot of foul balls in there.
He had two starts. He only had two starts go into the seventh inning. That's pretty crazy. I think 25 games started. You only go to the seventh two times. What else? Oh, my underrated hitter is the old Dirt Squirrel. I don't know if you know who the Dirt Squirrel is.
No.
It's Jeff McNeil. That's his nickname, the Dirt Squirrel. Jeff McNeil.
I like the name, man. That's a good name.
It's a great name, the Dirt Squirrel. It's a great name. For the Mets, it's a small sample size, but last year he batted .326. He had a .836 OPS. He gets on base. He hits for, you know, he's a singles, doubles, triples guy. And in that lineup, it's like, it's perfect for that lineup. You know, he's able to protect those players. And I just think he's an overrated. I think he was top 15 in OPS last year. I want to say he was top 20 in WAR. He's got good numbers for a guy that doesn't really hit home runs, doesn't hit a lot of RBIs, but he just does the right things.
Yeah. He's an all-around baseball player. I mean, if the Mets all played with their baseball cards, I mean, they're a good team. Like,
yeah, they're great.
I mean, Cohen's spending money. He's doing what they should be doing. That's a great owner for that team. And, I mean, he's not, you know, obviously Carlos Correa couldn't sign with anybody. But, you know, they're trying. And if Lindor's got to play to his – if Lindor plays to his strengths, if Brett Beatty comes up, that's his thing. You know, Alonso plays well. You're talking about a McNeil. He's this quiet guy, but he's probably a linchpin to the team. He's obviously providing a lot of value there. That team could be really good. You know, if Verlander's there now. I mean, he's older. I mean, you get a good year out of him maybe. I mean, that all puts together. Maybe the Mets make a run. Who knows? Maybe our picks are way off. But anyway, that's some good stuff, man. I think everybody let us know what you think. You know,
yeah,
give
please.
Us some commentary on this, like feedback.
The Christian Javier pick was tough for me because it's an Astro, but I was just looking at his numbers like, how did this guy go 11-9? Like, that's crazy with those numbers.
Javier, Pena, you know, Yordan, those are great baseball players.
Yeah.
I hate the Astros. You know, I'm conditioned to not like them. I think a lot of baseball. I mean, but you got to remember it's not the Astros. Like, Dusty Baker is a class act. Dusty Baker is a baseball man. He is royalty in baseball, and he turned that stuff around. I can't believe I'm saying all this stuff out loud, but he's just an Astros manager now. I mean, he was a long time, you know, Red and Giant manager. He was in Chicago Cubbies for a minute. I think that team is still really good, and it's Bregman and Altuve. You know, those are the poster children for all that garbage. You know, those are the guys that get all the, we talked about it last week. They get all the boos, they get all the hate. You know, Pena, these other guys, they weren't part of that. Those guys are clean. You know, it's like the steroid era. They're not taking anything, you know, so don't get after them. They're a good team. I like the picks. Those are good picks. I think Houston's definitely going to be a problem this year. They're going to cause a lot of problems in the American League. So we talked about the American League being stacked. It'll be very interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah.
Moving along. Let's get it. Is that all you got?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Guys, give us commentary. Let us know. We'll probably clip some of this stuff so you could talk about it and maybe, you know, go after each other. I know we got some hot takes on the underrated and overrated. We'll see how those pan out. How wrong we are. We'll probably have to, you know, we'll come back and we'll revisit these picks as the year progresses and see who's right and who's wrong. Let's talk about product. You know, you're ripping product, and we'll finish on this. You're ripping product. So this year's 2022, we talked last week about the differences between Bowman Chrome, and Bowman Draft. Walk us through these products. What's the hit rate? Who are the players that are important, that are becoming important? Walk us through the products themselves for this year. What are you seeing? What your recommendations are?
So 2022 regular Bowman goes Bowman, Chrome, and then Draft. It's going order. So regular Bowman, you're chasing Ellie De La Cruz. That's the main chase. Love that product. There's young players in that. I really love regular Bowman. I think that's our bread and butter. It tends to have lower amount of prospects. It's usually in the range between 65 to 75 prospects in the checklist. Mm-hmm. And it's just better as a breaker to put that on the table. Cause you know, if you have 40 autos in a case or whatever it might be, you know, or 36 autos, like you have a good chance at hitting one of those top guys. The odds are better. Then in Chrome 22, the big chase is Jackson Churio for the Brewers, 18 years old in AA. You probably might see the bigs much sooner than people think with that Brewers team. And then in 22 Draft is Jackson Holliday, Matt Holliday's son. He's the big chase. There's many other players in that. Elijah Green's in that. Zach Neto for the Angels, Brooks Lee, Chase DeLauder. There's so many players in that. The problem that I have with Draft, and yes, we rip it. It doesn't matter. It's Bowman. Just the checklist is so deep, so deep. It's in the hundreds for autos, and there's a lot of pitchers. Bowman and Bowman Chrome tend to be way more hitters. Most of the hitters are international. Those are international-driven products, right? Draft is all the guys coming out of college or high school, and it's just pitcher-loaded. So you're going to see so many more pitchers, and it comes out of a case. You know, you're talking if you have whatever it might, you know, 36 autos, you're just like, you're going to hit probably 20 plus pitchers. It's just how it is in regular Bowman or Bowman Chrome, man. There were times we ripped a case of HTA and we're like, man, we saw two pitcher autos in the whole case. So, which is much better for your ROI when you're talking the chances of like, of a hitter panning out to a pitcher. It's worlds different. So that's kind of what 2022 layout's been. I'm not really fond of these new parallels that they're putting in these the products. I wish somebody at Fanatics, I'm talking to you, like talk to or get with the breakers and figure out a better way to give the product. Like, I think in draft you have jumbo, which is 3 autos, and you have super jumbo, which is 5. And I think Jared Blaise talked about this, and I didn't even know he talked about this. I was talking about this in my life. Like, they should do an HTA version of draft. It's just 5 autos. It's mm-hmm. just 5 autos. That's it. You get your 5 autos and that's it. There's no fluff. There's no extra, because it's just like you're just getting just all this paper and this chrome, and it's just like trash cards. They're just trash. So eliminate the fluff. Go to the 5 autos. On draft jumbo, you have 3 autos. Keep the chrome base cards in there. That's where you get your chrome base. That's how they do it with Bowman Chrome. It'd be great mm-hmm. if they just did that across the board. Bowman Chrome, you have Chrome Hobby, you get 2 autos, and you have HTA, you get 3. That's how they should do it for draft. It would make the product so much more enticing for that super jumbo. Like, hey, man, I'm only going – because, listen, when it comes down to it, the collectors, they're in it for the autos. They're in it for the autos. Unless you're talking like a super fractor or a red or like a true orange base – nobody really cares about those colors that aren't autos. They want the autos. So that's what I think they should do, but you know, who knows.
So what do you do with all those base cards when you rip? Where do they go? you just light a fire, just toss them in the garbage can. I tell people
we do not ship the paper cards. Some people are like, oh, those paper, oh, the PSA 10, you know, JDOM paper 10s are doing like $100. I'm like, guys, that's from 2020 to now. Like the amount of production has gone. I mean, it's probably 5x what they've done in the last 3 years. It's like, it just, they're not worth it. Like, they're not worth it. Okay. You should not be spending $30 to grade a dollar card. Not even a dollar card. Some of these paper cards are not even worth anything. So I don't know. I literally I'll be on the live and I'll just be like pew pew right in the trash.
Like, or doing some, all those?
Yeah. Or someone will be like, hey, will you ship me the papers? And I'll go, yeah, come get them out of my trash can.
Yeah, I'm not shipping those. Yeah, yeah. The ROI on that's not making sense. It's not penciling. My son loves watching it because we turn the volume all the way down. But he loves watching. We love watching because he can spot the refractors. He's like, Dad, he knows exactly where they're at. I'm like, oh, yeah, he just kind of flips them out. And he knows exactly where they're at. You go through and you set the refractors aside. He's a refractor nut now. He's like his dad. He just loves the refractor, which he's slowly becoming us. But it does beg the question on production. Like, how much are we producing? Is it necessary? I feel like if you just listen to the breakers, you listen to the collectors, you're basically wasting money. You could just condense the product down to what people want. But then would that affect the odds, though? I mean, what does that do to
make,
the odds?
They make retail. So it's like, all right, if you want to chase the chrome bases, just go get in retail. You know, they have all the blasters and the fat packs and the, you know, the megas. Right. Just, I don't know, like, I feel like they could still make a lot of, I mean, these guys are making, so there's, it's so much money that's being made. But in the same sense, they keep like they had one. You had one parallel, and I'm guessing it probably adds another 3-5% in production, because that one parallel, now everybody in the set needs that one parallel, and then you know,
it's true.
And get rid of the sticker autos. That's my big thing. It's like, we don't need sticker autos anymore. Okay, get rid of them. If you can't have them, sign them, or if you can't, if you're gonna put a, I just don't get it. Just get rid of them. Just get rid of them. Cause you just, those cards like really don't hold value when it comes down to it. Like when it first comes out, if you hit a Jackson Holiday sticker auto, it'll sell. But as the years progress, they want the Bowman first autos. We go for them for the on card autos. Stick to it. Stick to the on card autos.
Got it. Good stuff. All right, friends, anything else you want to add before we wrap?
No, I think we're good. I think cool. It was good. Yeah.
That's good. That was a good solid episode. We got some, you know, some takes in there, and we walked through some of the product once again, you know, some advice for fanatics on how they want to produce a product. If they want to keep the product to be enticing and excited for those that rip the hobby product. Yeah. Again, friends, let us know what you think. We'll be back next week with a special guest.
What about, this week's pick to rip.
Wait a second. The whole key of the show.
Our
call sign. Daddy's pick to rip. Before we jump off, what's the daddy's pick to rip for this week?
Garrett Mitchell.
Tell me why.
He's in a product that's overshadowed by Jordan Walker, Zach Veen, Robert Hassel, like Nick York. There's a lot of players. He's in 2020 draft. He is old. When I say old for a prospect, he's 24, but the Brewers team needs help. He should be in the majors. He's already has two spring home runs, and his cards are way too cheap. I just looked at his true orange PSA 9. The guy was asking like $1,500 or best offer. Probably you could probably get him into the get a card like that for less than $1,000, and he's got a lot of pop, but the age is a little worrisome to me. But he's so cheap, it would be a risk that I would be willing to take. Being on the Brewers, he got bigger. I think he was plagued with some injuries last year, but like I said, he's overlooked by a lot of guys in his class. And that's my pick to rip. Last week's pick to rip is looking pretty good right now. So
yeah, that might be something to consider.
Yeah.
Garrett Mitchell, Milwaukee Brewers, 2020 class.
2020 draft
products. 2020 draft product. Go check it out. Go check it out. Look on eBay. Try to find a good deal. Again, we're not giving you financial advice. We're not telling you what to buy and how to buy it, how much to spend. We're telling you to try to do it as cost effectively as possible through, you know, breaking, which is obviously the best way to do it. But keep your eyes and ears peeled for Daddy Rips. Follow him at Daddy_Rips. He's going live often and he's ripping. It's a lot of fun. Jump in there. Maybe try to get a Garrett. You might be doing a Garrett Mitchell rip here soon, right? You're going to do a Bowman draft.
Maybe. Yeah.
All right. There you go. All right, Luka Nation. You've heard it here first. All the picks, all the good stuff. This is the Daddy Rips DPZ Bowman Baseball Show. This is our second episode. We'll see you next week with a special guest and we'll have some more fun talking about baseball. This guest is going to have their picks too as well. So we'll be sharing that.
Thanks for
joining us.
Appreciate you guys.
With nearly 40 years as the most trusted resource for collectors, dating back to the first Beckett magazine in 1984, Beckett has been the brand that bridges generations of the hobby. We're happy to be partnering with Beckett and look forward to keeping you all updated on the big things happening at the company in 2023. Beckett, it's the name you know and the name you can trust.